Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Edgar Lujano, producer for the live show, but today I get to fill in for Cy Kellett as he continues his journey across the states. So he'll be back next week for you guys. But today we have a great show for you guys, a great way to end off the week. For second hour, we have an Ask Me Anything with Jimmy Akin. So if you have a question for him, make sure you save that for the next hour. But for this hour, we have a special guest in studio. We have the founder and president of the St. Paul Street Evangelization, Steve Dawson. Welcome to the show and welcome to the studio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. I love it here.
Yeah, great. Well, you know, for listeners of the show, they know that during our ads, we always hear of St. Paul Street Evangelization. We always hear it there, and everybody's going to be familiar if you listen to the show. But we don't know the founder, and that's you. So, and why the reasons why you got into evangelization. And so I personally want to ask you, you know, what brought you to evangelization and eventually to found the St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the 5-minute version, there's a 3-hour version, but I'll try to give the 5-minute version or less. But I think it all starts with my childhood, really. Like, my mom was falling away from the church. She was, my father was not religious at all. And I didn't even know about God. I didn't even hear about God. I was baptized, but, you know, we didn't have any God in the house, at all. And what ended up happening is I started getting in trouble. Like, I remember the first time I was arrested. I was 13 years old, and I thought I needed a little bit of adventure in my life. So I took out my dad's brand new Thunderbird Super Coupe. I thought, man, this is going to be fun. I'm going to learn how to drive.
Sounds like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. And so I took it out, and, you know, I was driving around, and I came face to face with a police officer in a parking lot. And he saw me, like, down here behind the steering wheel. I'm like, go ahead, officer. And he's like, no, you go ahead. And he followed me. And I thought I'd lost him, but he had just turned off his lights. And so I punched it to get out of there. And next thing you know, high-speed police pursuit. I'm doing 130 miles an hour. And it came around a turn and just split the car in half. And, my guardian angel was there. But he... when he caught up to me, because he told me I'd lost him. When he came up to me, he thought I was dead, but I was trying to start the car up, but it wouldn't start because it's cut in half. And then, but the electrical worked, so I rolled down the window, and I said, what seems to be the problem, officer? And he did not think that was funny, so he pulled me out, and it just went from that to bad to worse and worse, you know, and... But my mother met a Catholic priest named Father John Harden, and he discipled her back into the faith when I was a teenager. So, but I didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, I like my girls. I like the bad things that I was doing, basically, you know, my partying. And but she would tell me, you know, if you're on the wrong road, if you keep on this road, it does not lead to heaven. It leads to hell. And I told her to get out of here. I don't want to talk about it. And I thought I was having a good time. But, you know, eventually, in my 20s, it wasn't fun anymore. And I really didn't want to live, you know. Like, I wasn't suicidal exactly, but... And I started thinking about the things that my mom would tell me. All those things that she said, even though it looked like she was pushing me away... because I was, get out of here, you know. I remembered him. My guardian angel reminded me, and she was praying, and she was having her friends pray. And so I went outside one day, and I just got on my knees, and with my bottle of Jack Daniels right next to me, and I looked up at the sky. I said, all right, God, I don't know if you exist, but if you do, you're going to have to show me. And I didn't get an apparition or anything like that, but I got a supernatural grace to learn, to search for truth. And this is all getting to how evangelization started, but it's important to my story because I think if I would have just grown up normal like everybody else, I would have never had that experience, which basically led me to search for God, find Him. Although I did not want to be Catholic, to tell you the truth. Once I started believing God, I'd like much rather be Buddhist or something. I thought Buddhist was cool. But yeah, once I believed in the Catholic Church, or when I believed in Jesus, I knew the church was real. Was legit, and just through a lot of study, and that he was the salvation of the world, the salvation of mankind, and God either deserves everything or nothing. If he exists, he deserves our all, and if he doesn't, then why bother? And I believed in the salvation of souls and what the church teaches about salvation of souls. And I thought, if I really believe this and I don't share it with people, as the Catechism says, it's grave omission. Mm-hmm. In paragraph 1816, it says, evangelization is necessary for salvation. The exact language is service of and witness to the faith are necessary for salvation, like the proclamation of the faith. And that makes sense because we have something that's even greater than the cure for cancer. And if we had the cure for cancer and we didn't share it with like little children who are dying of cancer, we just kept it to ourselves, we'd be evil. Well, we have something like infinitely greater than the cure for cancer. We have the cure to eternal death. We have the keys to eternal life. And I knew that. And, so that's what got me interested in evangelization, just the realization that this thing called Catholicism and the man who founded it, Jesus Christ, who is God, our Lord and Savior, that it's true. And we need to spread it.
Yeah. Huh. Well, if you have a question for Steve about sharing the news about Jesus to someone who either is Christian or even to somebody who's a non-believer, you can go ahead and give us a call. Ask Steve a question. You can reach us at 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. That's so interesting how the moment you believe in Jesus, then it all starts kind of falling into place. But I'm sure it wasn't just one moment you believe in Jesus, the next moment you believe in the church, and the next moment you're starting an organization that's out there to evangelize. I'm sure there's a lot more in between.
No, it happened in 3 days. 1, 2, 3.
That's how it happens, right?
No, no, of course. You know, that day I got on my knees, that was the start of something. But it was a process. And actually, I remember I would watch EWTN while drinking whiskey and get in like and be like, yeah, that nun, she's, you know, she knows what she's talking about or something like that. And I could, as I came to believe, and I did at this some point believe, but I didn't want to give up my sin. And I don't like comparing myself to Saint Augustine because he was holy and I'm just a big sinner, but I was kind of like him in the way that I was like, Lord, give me, you know, chastity, give me, you know, holiness, but not yet, you know. But at some point, I decided, I have to go all in. And I remember I called my mom one day. It was like 9 o'clock at night, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I need to go to confession right now." It's Friday night, and she's like, "It's Friday night. We'll go in the morning." I said, no, I need to go right now. She was very connected with priests. And she said, well, go in the morning. I said, well, what would happen to me if I died tonight? And she said, well, let me call somebody. So she called the priest, and I got on the phone with him. He said, oh, yeah, see you tomorrow. And same conversation, and I said the same thing. What would happen to me, Father, if I died tonight? And he said, I'll see you in 15 minutes. And I was in that confessional for 2 hours, and my penance was 30 rosaries. 30. And I got off easy, because I should have been like sackcloth and ashes and bread and water for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So after that confession, I mean, I started getting into pro-life work, going to Bible studies, getting involved in all the different things that I could. And I just had, God gave me this zeal for the faith and to do things for him. And I ended up joining the Franciscans. I thought I was supposed to be a priest. And I discerned out, but I knew I was called to evangelize. I got married, and then that's how I got to evangelize. I learned about St. Maximilian Kolbe when I was in religious life. And I didn't know. I knew I was called to evangelize, but I didn't really know how. And St. Maximilian had an easy method, just hand out miraculous medals. And I thought, I could do that. And I had a lot of really amazing stories, and I'll tell you some of them.
Perfect. Great. All right. Well, that's a great place to pause there for a second for us to go to our first break. And when we come back, we'll take a few calls and we'll also listen to a few stories of St. Paul Center Street Evangelization. So if you have a question, we do have a few lines open. You can go ahead and give us a call at 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
EWTN Radio is growing. Are you an experienced radio producer looking for an opportunity to help forward Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization? We need a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage all aspects of producing world-class radio programming. You could be the newest member of the EWTN Radio family. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to humanresources@EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are here with Steve Dawson, founder of St. Paul Center Street Evangelization, sharing some great stories with us as coming to faith, and also how to talk to Jesus, talk to people about Jesus, and also talk to Jesus through prayer, right? Mm-hmm. But it's some fascinating stories there, Steve. I want to jump into some calls first before we continue on with the stories. So let's go to Margie in Pennsylvania. She's listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Margie, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Oh, doing great. Yourself?
I'm fine. I was very touched by, I forgot the gentleman's name, his story about how he turned his life around, and it really reminded me of my own son, who is 31 right now, but he was raised in the church, Eastern Rite Catholic. He was a altar boy from 7 years old. He participated in everything that was going on in church. I made sure of that, you know, any kind of retreats, all church activities. I thought he was a well-rounded kid, and he would stay in the faith, but you know, as soon as he got into high school, there was a big change. I mean, he got involved with smoking pot and other things, and talk about almost losing his life. He drove home drunk and high from a place that's probably 20 miles from my house, down windy roads, traffic lights and everything, and he wound up passing out a mile from my house, and the truck very gently drove him into a little pond of water. He was passed out. The water woke him up. He swam out, not knowing where he was. Obviously, he was arrested and went through, you know, the normal thing that you go through. But he's 31 now, doesn't want to hear about God. He seems to be getting his life together, which I'm very happy about. I do pray for him all the time. It's difficult to speak to him about his faith or inviting him to go to church or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I do pray for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure God's working in his life. I just, maybe it's just me as a mom. I'm impatient.
Yeah.
And maybe I just have to learn to be patient and just keep praying for him.
Yeah. This is probably the number one question that I get asked when I give a talk. And my answer is, I think, is surprising to a lot of people, maybe even a little bit controversial, because it begins like you always hear, like, okay, you need to, the most important thing is prayer, like, and you're doing that. I would say sacrifice and fast for him, like give up something that you really like. And like I gave up drinking soda, and hadn't drank any for years and years and years for an intention. So that's very powerful. Steve Ray likes to say, ask God to send somebody else to evangelize, because I'm a street evangelist. And I'll tell you what, evangelizing people you do not know is way easier than evangelizing someone you do know. A prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. Like, but with someone you don't know, I mean, it's just, they'll open up to you. They don't have any preconceptions, or it's just a lot easier to evangelize somebody you don't know. So it's difficult. Family members are difficult, and children are difficult. And I was similar to your son. I've been arrested. I've almost died, you know, and I didn't want to hear anything about God. And I would, like, basically scream at my mom when she, like, tried to talk to me about Jesus. And, you know, you hear people say often, well, you don't want to push them away, so don't talk to them. Just kind of witness, love them, and live your faith. And I completely disagree with that. For this reason, if something is really important to you, like if your child was using a drug that was going to kill him in 10 days for sure, you would, no matter what, have a conversation with him occasionally, even if it made him angry, right? Because you love him, and you don't want him to die. And or anything, if they're a drug addict, you're going to talk to him about that occasionally. Or, you know, you can name the thing. But when we do not talk to our children about the faith, even though the conversations are uncomfortable, it says something to them unconsciously. It says, well, she must not really believe this, that I'm going to lose my soul forever, subconsciously. Because if she did really believe that, or that was possible, it would be worth a few arguments. And so for me, I was the person that was the classic example of somebody being put externally facing. It looked like my mom was pushing me further from the faith by talking to me about it. But what was really going on is all those things that she said stuck in my mind, and my guardian angel reminded me about them. And I started to think, what is it? Could this really be true? You know, and it got to my conscience. And so I, and it just built from there, you know? So I think it's a both. I think it doesn't mean, my recommendation is not to talk to your kid every day about it and just end up having a bad relationship. But you do, I think we do need to have those conversations occasionally, strategically. And the way I would start it with my kid is, as I say, look, I love you so much. You're my son, and you know that I believe this about the Catholic faith, and that I believe that, you know, your eternal salvation is dependent on loving God and living His commandments. And how much would I have to hate you not to try to talk to you about this? And at least, and maybe there's a way to say that more quickly, you know, but, you know, at least he's, even if he doesn't want to hear it, at least he's got some context then. Like, she's doing this because she believes it and she cares. I don't want to hear it, but it gives you something to go on. So, yeah, talk to him once in a while, once a year, twice a year. That's my advice. Yeah.
I really like your idea about sacrificing, you know.
Yeah.
I think when you do things like that and you step out in faith and you're really trusting God, I think He always gives us a lot of grace.
Yeah.
When we do that, because He loves us. You know what I mean?
Definitely. So, but we need to have those hard conversations. If possible. I mean, so if your kid is getting violent or something like that, you don't want to, but mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's my recommendation. Yeah. I think it's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margie.
Much appreciate it.
Thank you for your call. Really appreciate that. So, Steve, you know what? One thing that stuck out to me right now that, as you were speaking, is pray that someone else will come and witness to them or evangelize to them. I have a similar situation in my life. My confirmation teacher became that person for me, and it's really difficult to try to learn the faith and make it your own when it's your parents or someone close to you that's trying to teach you this. Like, yeah, you're the same person who tells me to clean my room. I'm not going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. But when it's somebody else, how truly impactful it can be. It could be the same words, but it's truly impactful. And I'm sure St. Paul street evangelization has been that for people. Do you have any stories in regard to that where you guys have been that for other people that you've met on the street?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, people think, well, let's just talk about, like, street evangelism. What does it mean to do street evangelization? We consider street evangelization any sort of evangelization that's done intentionally in public. You know, it could happen in a grocery store. It's kind of like in the streets of, but not technically, you know. So, the way I kind of got involved is I started with handing out miraculous medals. And at first I was like, evangelization is not easy for me. Like, some people think that, you know, evangelization is just like, once you know Jesus to a certain extent, you just can't keep him to yourself and you just got to share him with people. And it is not like that for me. It's difficult for me to talk to people. I have a subconscious, I don't know, woundedness or something that it's like human respect. What are people going to think about me? Or what if I say something wrong? But, you know, a police officer might not want to go into a shootout, you know, but he's called to save somebody. Or a firefighter is called to run into that burning building, you know. And we as Christians are called to share the faith. And so this idea of passing out miraculous medals, it was like that was something that's way easier for me than like going into the grocery store and saying, hey, can you pass me the Cheerios? And by the way, here, can I tell you about Jesus, you know? And so I just started handing out miraculous medals. And one of the first, I had a lot of really amazing stories. Lots of people crying, lots of people asking for prayers. But once I was in a a restaurant with friends, and we gave the waitress a miraculous medal, and she said, is this Catholic? And I said, yeah, have you ever considered becoming Catholic yourself? And she said she had, but she didn't believe all the teachings of the church. And I said, well, like what? She said, well, like abortion. I think it's okay in some circumstances. And look, I'm not a professional theologian. I'm not a professional apologist. And we were in a busy restaurant, and I had a 30-second conversation with her, and I just simply said, well, the church just teaches that at the moment of conception, you have a new human life. That's what the science books teach, and it's not up to us to decide who lives or who dies. And she said, thank you, and we left the restaurant, and we came back three months later. She ran up to me, she recognized me, and she said, that day I just found out I was pregnant. I was going to have an abortion.
Wow.
And you saved me. Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. Well, if you have a question for Steve, go ahead and give us a call. We'll be right back right after this break. 888-318-7884.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Deepen your connection to the church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the church fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, here with Steve Dawson, president and founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's been really cool listening to these stories, so I know we had to cut it off there pretty quick there at the end, but a 30-second conversation that you had with a lady, and you discovered that she was actually pregnant when you were discussing the topic of abortion.
Yeah, but, you know, not that day.
Yeah.
You know, we're just having lunch, and we just had a brief conversation, gave her a miraculous medal, you know, and that just led to a quick explanation of, you know, the 30-second explanation of human life and why it's sacred. And it wasn't deeply apologetical. There was nothing complicated about it. Anybody could have had that conversation. You wouldn't have known anything had changed in her heart. You know, and we left, and, you know, I could have never seen her again, right? But when we came back, yeah, she recognized me, you know, and she ran up. She was so excited. Sit down. I have to tell you, that day, and she pulled out her miraculous medal.
Wow.
I had just found out I was pregnant. I was going to have an abortion, and I knew that God had sent you to keep my baby. You know, and I said, praise God. We're going to get that baby baptized Catholic, right? You know? So, like, the next step in evangelization. But it is stories and experiences like this that convicted me that, you know, two-minute conversations with people that you'd never met before can change their lives. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at the scriptures, one thing was clear, that street evangelization is like the most highlighted form of evangelization in the scriptures. I mean, from Jonah in the Old Testament, but especially the New Testament. I mean, you have John the Baptist. He's out in the streets preaching Jesus, you know, all his sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, or even when he's talking with the woman at the well, you know. The 72, he sends them out to the towns and squares and villages. You get in Acts, it's like Paul and the Areopagus. And you know, and it goes on and on throughout church history. This is how the church spread. You know, the missionaries, when they, the North American martyrs, when they, you know, boated over here, mm-hmm. they didn't just like build a church and start saying Mass and have a Bible study and say, well, everybody's welcome. You know, they went out into the streets and started talking. Or one of my favorite is St. Francis Xavier. He was one of the greatest evangelists of all time. And he would go into town squares and ring a bell to gather a crowd and proclaim the gospel. And you know, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Vincent Ferrer. I mean, you just name the great evangelist saints throughout the history of the church, and they were all street evangelists. And for whatever reason, we just kind of lost that. You know, and today it's, well, we were founded in 2012, and when I started, I would ask a room full of Catholics, how many of you have ever seen Catholics doing evangelization? And not one hand would go up. But if you said Protestant, they'd all go up. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. And then if you ask, you know, normal Catholics, what does evangelization look like for a Catholic, they say, well, you know, it's corporal works of mercy, like feeding and like doing, like helping people, being loving and stuff. But it's a both and. It's not an either or, you know. And you need to talk to people about Jesus.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, if you want to talk to Steve, you can call us at 888-318-7884. We go over to Marty in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm currently in OCI A class. Been an active Christian for 45 years, Protestant. And so my question is how is this is it different for a Catholic in evangelization than it is for a Protestant? And I kind of think I know the answer, but just the last story about the waitress. You know, it sounds like you're just having a conversation and just went where it led. And I guess that's kind of the same approach I've had, but I just want to know if there's a difference.
Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of different ways to evangelize. And I'm talking a lot of different ways to do evangelization publicly, like with people you don't know. You know, from soapbox preaching, which, you know, it can be effective if you do it like Frank Sheed did it. At the time in history when he did it, like with his Catholic Evidence Guild, but now, you know, soapbox preaching is usually looks like you know, people screaming at people and telling them they're going to hell. And I think there's just so much noise that these one-on-one conversations with people are very powerful. So that's what we prefer. But clearly, there is a difference, regardless of, you know, what your method is going to be, between Catholic evangelization and Protestant evangelization, because, you know, as Catholics, we have something that Protestants do not have. We have, just as one example, we have the Eucharist, you know, and just using that single example, if Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist, and that teaching is true, we want people to have it. It's not good enough for them not to have it. But we have all these sacraments. And really, the fact of the matter is, God wants everybody to be Catholic. He wants everybody to be Catholic. And if you're Protestant, you just need to come a little bit further. So if I'm evangelizing an atheist, my evangelization might look very similar to Protestants, because I'm not going to try to take someone from atheist to Eucharistic adoring Catholic in a 5-minute conversation. You know, I'm going to focus in on where they're at. I might talk to them, hey, can I tell you why I choose to believe in God? And I'm just going to start there. And yeah, we can move forward, but if I'm talking to someone who believes in God, but is not a Christian, I'm going to talk about Jesus, and maybe in the same way. But one thing we can learn from Protestants is, you know, Protestant evangelists will always try to get people to pray to have Jesus enter their hearts. And now for them, they think, well, then you're saved, right? And that's not true. But we can do a better job of that. Like, we encourage our evangelists. Like, if someone's, like, wanting to accept Jesus, we don't say, well, go to the church and go to OCIA, you know, and then 9 months later, then you can ask Jesus into your heart or something. It's like, let's pray right now that Jesus comes into your heart and becomes present in you. And then, you know, you guide them to the further steps. So there's things we can learn from Protestant evangelists, things that we should avoid. There are similarities and there are differences, but the main one is we want everyone to be Catholic.
How's that, Marty?
Okay. That sounds, yeah, I like that. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Marty. Really appreciate that. We you know, you told us stories of leading up to the building of St. Paul Street Evangelization. This conversation with the waitress, was it before or after the founding?
Yeah, it was before. I mean, it was stories like those, though, that inspired me to get out there in the streets. That combined with this realization that, you know, I was out with my wife. We were walking down a river walk in Portland, Oregon. And literally, the first people we see were Protestant evangelists. And then we'd walk a block later, and the Mormons are out there evangelizing. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses are a block later. And then, believe it or not, there was a booth of evangelists evangelizing for atheism. There's an atheist evangelist group out there. And I said to my wife, where are all the Catholics? Yeah. We have the fullness of truth. You know, and I've never seen a Catholic evangelize, you know, in public. So it was like, and I read the scriptures, and it's like, it's all over, you know? And so it's like, we need to be out there. We've lost something. We need to recapture it. So Portland, Oregon is a crazy place in a lot of ways. It's a beautiful, beautiful. But at least when I lived there, it was very beautiful. It's a little bit different now, but one of the sayings was "Keep Portland weird," and we were perfect for that, to keep Portland weird. I mean, we were Catholic evangelists. We'd go out and we'd set up a little blanket and pass out rosaries, and if anybody asked us, "What are you guys doing?" and we'd just be like, "Well, we're Catholic evangelists. That's weird, you know, we're keeping Portland weird." And they'd be like, yeah, that's pretty weird. And, you know, it was providential that we were there, because we were having amazing conversations. People were coming back to the church. I mean, talking to Protestant pastors who were coming into the church. And I just thought, you know, if this can work in Portland, Oregon, this can work anywhere, you know? And it wasn't difficult. You know, none of us were theologians, you know? You just gotta, and we learned as we had no training. We just learned as we went, you know? Now, St. Paul Street Evangelization, now we got training and we can help people, but But you don't need training. You just need to be able to share your story with someone or talk to someone about Jesus. Give them a miraculous medal and ask them if you can pray for them for anything and try to start a conversation. But, yeah, you know, and that once I recognized how fruitful street evangelization really was and that nobody was doing it in the Catholic Church, now, I realized that some people were, I had not heard of any at the time, I just thought, man, we need to, like, somehow inspire others to do this. So we just started posting. I called my friends. I said, you got to get out there, you know, and in different states, and I started posting pictures and stories on Facebook, and, you know, before we knew it, I had people calling me from all over the country just trying to get started, you know,
yeah.
And I was explaining how to do it. So, yeah, it's been really amazing.
Perfect. Well, if you want to talk to Steve, once again, we have a few open lines. You can call us at 888-318-7884, and we're going to go to our last break of this hour, and then we'll finish up with Steve.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is The Messy Family Project. Mike and Alicia Hernan believe that being a good parent starts with being a great spouse. But it's hard, messy work, and we're not meant to do it alone. So join them on this journey. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
As you know, here at Catholic Answers, we've been promoting our calendar for 2025. If you haven't already gotten yours, you can go to Catholic.com, go to the top banner, that orange banner at the top of the page, pick yours up. So this wall calendar is a result of years of effort to realize the vision that showcases the classical works of contemporary Catholic artists, and it's not available anywhere else. Each artist was carefully selected for their deep faith and commitment to traditional methods, with some even using handcrafted historical materials. We hope that this calendar inspires you as much as the journey of creating it has inspired us. So as you've seen, really cool calendar. Check it out, Catholic.com. It's really cool to see their art, and then you look it up and you can still see the new artwork that they're creating on their own pages. So check that out, Catholic.com, and go to that orange banner at the very top of the page. I guess art can also be a form of evangelization, right? If you if an image strikes someone, yeah.
Sure. I mean, truth, beauty, and goodness.
Yeah.
The transcendentals. But, you know, any one of those can be the primary thing. Like someone like me, it was truth. You know, Scott Hahn, he was really searching for truth. Somebody else, I don't know, might be drawn in by the beauty of a church and that. But you got to have them all.
Yeah.
And if the beauty, the truth is beautiful and good. So.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, then with that, we go over to Brian in Texas. He's listening on Guadalupe Radio. Brian, go right ahead with your question.
Yes. Okay. So I'm having some problems with my sister-in-law, who is Catholic. And I don't know if there's any books or anything that maybe you can direct me towards. But so the situation is that she thinks that there's two different Catholics. She calls me and my wife Bible thumpers, and she believes in abortion. She put it for Kamala. It's just really hard to talk to her about this. She's just very angry. And then when we do try to talk to her, her defense is, well, God also says not to judge. And we just need, you know, the church and state need to be separate. And we just, we don't need to talk about this stuff. And I don't know how to talk to my sister-in-law about this because of all that. Mm-hmm. And just looking for some guidance.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I'd say is to keep having conversations. Pray for her, fast for her, you know. Pray for her conversion. You know, if she says God tells us not to judge, I mean, that's, you know, I personally would just say, well, you know, should if someone killed you right now, should we not judge them or put them in prison? You know, what does he mean by do not judge? And it's not that we're to make judgments. It's more, you know, we can't judge the heart. We leave that to God, you know, but we can judge actions and speak truth. So, yeah, so do the best that you can. In regards to a book, I know Catholic Answers has a ton of good books. I'm thinking Trent Horn has something.
On the pro-life issue, he has a persuasive pro-life. We actually just re-released that for a post-Roe world. So it's got all the updates now that abortion is no longer legal on the federal level.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff. And one technique I like to use and still do occasionally is I'll find like a talk or... A talk is really good because it doesn't take like 4 days to read or something like that. And I'll just say, hey, I was listening to this talk and it really made sense to me. You know, can you tell me where it's wrong? You know, if she listens to it because she wants to tell you where it's wrong, good. You know, so anyway. Just do the best you can. You know, it's hard.
Brian, since we mentioned the book, hang on the line. Thomas will get your information. We want to send that book, Persuasive Pro-Life, out to you so you can check that out. Maybe after you read it, you can go ahead and give it over to your sister-in-law, and hopefully that'll be, you know, effective in that conversation. Now, Steve, how long have you been doing this with the St. Paul Street Evangelization?
2012.
Okay, so you've been at it for a bit. What are some of the most memorable moments that you've had during this ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many. I'm going to tell one that doesn't sound very memorable, though, and it's just about being present. We had a team in Arizona, and they were out there handing out rosaries. They had a table. And a couple came by with their young son, who was adopted from Africa. And the son just wanted a rosary, so they let him have it. Now, the parents are Protestant. And the boy was playing with the rosary. He seemed to really like it. So they thought to themselves, maybe this boy's mother was Catholic. So they contacted the adoption agency, found out that he was Catholic. And years go by, and they got him baptized because he hadn't been. He was Catholic. Well, he wasn't. His mother was Catholic. He had never been baptized. So they got him baptized. And then when it came to put him in school, they wanted to put him in private school. And so they said, well, let's put him in the Catholic school maybe. So they went there, and they were in the principal's office. And the wife looks at the principal and says, what's that? RCIA, you know, poster mean. And she says, that's for people who want to become Catholic. And the wife turns to her husband. She says, you mean you can become Catholic? And the whole family came into the Catholic Church. And this is one of my favorite stories because, like, our evangelists didn't do anything. They just were there. Someone picked up a rosary. And this started this whole chain of events. And we would have never known about that, except 6 years later, an article comes out because they told their story, and somebody forwarded it to us, you know? And that is just awesome, you know, because you don't even need to say anything, and God will use you. It's like just showing up, you know. But you can't just show up and have a smile on your face. You gotta, you know, show up with at least rosaries and stuff like that. So anyway, that's one of my favorite because it helps us to just persevere if we're not seeing a lot of fruit. Yeah. You know, because we don't always see a lot of fruit. But God, we often do. I remember I was in Austin, Texas, evangelizing, and I talked to a young man. He said he was Catholic. I said, oh, where do you go to church? And he hadn't been going to church. So I said, well, can I give you one good reason why I go to church every week, and I put God at the center of my life, and I make him a priority? And he said, sure. So I said, look, in order to get to heaven, you need to love God, right? And he said, yeah. Well, in order to love God, you need to talk to him. You need to be in relationship with him. You got to do the things that he wants you to do. Avoid the things he doesn't want you to do. And I just said, would a man love his wife if he never talked to her? He didn't do things she, you know, was doing things she didn't want him to do, and vice versa. And it doesn't matter what he says. Actions speak louder than words, right? So if in order to love God, you need to have relationship with him, and in order to get into heaven, you need to love God, then where do you stand? And he just started crying, but in a good way. You know, his heart got convicted. He knew he wasn't right with God. He just figured he was. I love God, but his actions spoke louder than words. And I love using analogies like that, you know, because it can really drive home the points. And this is one of the things we teach people in our evangelization school online that you can get to from streetevangelization.com. But you know what? This is a five-minute conversation, and in 5 minutes, we're in my car, well, in my friend's car, driving him to confession because it was Saturday and confessions were going on, and he got in the confession line and he came out and he was a new man, you know, and just lots of stories like that. I mean, this, wow. Yeah, I mean, I could tell stories all day.
Well, I mean, for me, it's always, where do you go with someone who's antagonistic towards you? Because I'm sure you find some of that too.
Yeah, well, you know, that's when we first. I literally thought, like, people are going to throw rocks at us in Portland, you know, or yeah. Spit on us, you know. Because, again, there's a lot of anti-Christianity there. Yeah. And you know what? It's not like it is on Facebook, you know, or online. You know, when you're there in person, you got a smile on your face. The people that hate your guts who would cuss you out on Facebook or online, They just walk by. They don't say. They might say something under their breath as they walk by. Or, oh, that's nonsense or something.
Yeah.
But really, you know, because we're not in your face. We're not aggressive. We're non-confrontational in the sense that we're only talking to people who want to talk to us. It's very rare that we get a confrontational talk where, you know, you're getting into a debate. And actually, over the years, I found that usually it's just a waste of time. It's like a distraction because there's so many people who there's, you know, he's already got his mind set up. And, you know, I just don't necessarily feel called to talk to every single person who's, like, trying to get in an argument.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, now that we're coming up to the end of the show, I, you know, for people who are interested in St. Paul Street Evangelization, wanting to learn more, perhaps get involved, where do they go?
Streetevangelization.com.
All right. And you said you offer courses and all that and training?
Yeah, training courses. And you can go to our locations page. We've got several hundred teams around the country. And some around the world. So, yeah.
And if they don't have them in their city, they can potentially open it up.
Yeah, and it's not hard.
Okay.
It's not hard.
Well, there you have it.
Easy. Get in touch with us. We'll get you going.
Great. Steve, thank you so much for joining me on this hour. This is a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. All right, well, that does it for this hour. Next hour, we're going to have Jimmy Akin. So if you have a question for Jimmy, you can go ahead and give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's an Ask Me Anything with Jimmy Akin, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.